Thank you, Jesus.
Bless the Lord. Good morning, church. We are going to read a portion of scripture from Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah is wedged between Habakkuk and Haggai. Zephaniah chapter 3. It's almost in the middle of your Bibles. If you keep turning right, I'm sure you'll get there. Zephaniah chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 14 to verse 17. It's always nice for us to have our Bibles in church as we read in the presence of the Lord. Verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not do evil anymore. In that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hand be slacked. Last verse, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. The Lord bless the reading of his words to our hearts. Amen. We're so glad to be here again in another Lord's Day. Today being the second Sunday of the month, it is considered Men's Sunday in this church. And we want to give God thanks for blessing us over the years as we continue to minister on this particular day. Not only that, we are grateful for the men folks that are with us, but we are so glad to have our sisters with us too, cheering us on, helping us that we will continue to fight the fight and to work in the vineyard of our Lord. So we thank God for you, sisters, for being here with us, and we trust that God will bless you on this men's day as we worship the Lord together. We are so glad to have with us today Brother Hines joining in with us in service. And oh, good it is to always have Brother Hines with us. To God be the glory. Wouldn't you like to exhort on the topic, God in the midst of his people? And it will be a two-part presentation in the sense that we will start today, and the next time I come to minister, I will finish the second half of it. But the topic is God in the midst of his people. If you get a chance to read Zephaniah chapter 3, you are going to discover that the people of Israel rebelled against God and did things that displeases God. But there comes a time when God show mercy and God forgave them. God forgave them of their iniquities. And God, mercy was so impressive that God decided not only that he's going to take away their iniquities, but he's going to do something more. And what else is he going to do in this setting? God has decided that he is going to dwell in their midst. Now let's get this straight. Let's get this part of it real straight here. Because we need to understand that Solomon in his prayer, as he built the temple, one of the many things that he said is that when he admired God, he discovered that the heavens of the heavens cannot contain God. The heavens of the heavens cannot contain God. Much more this building that I have built. He is saying that God is so vast. He is saying that God is so great that God cannot hold in this new temple that has been built in his name. That is Solomon's prayer as they dedicated that building to the Lord. And by the Spirit of the Lord was able to show Solomon the thing pertaining to God and how vast he is. But not only Solomon we discover, but we also discover that the psalmist too have this mindset of God. The Psalm 139, verse 7. Listen to what it says. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up in heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy right hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. This is the mindset of the psalmist, coupled with what Solomon said, tells us that there is nowhere, it is not possible to go anywhere in the entire universe or creation of God, and God's presence is not there. This is the vast God that we serve, expressed by his servants as they gaze upon him through the scriptures. And by revelation of the Holy Ghost, they see a God that is bigger than time, and he holds eternity in his hands. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But this God, church, this God holds himself to his words. This God is committed to his words. So we read in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, where he said, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is in the what? Midst. He is holding himself to his word. Yes, there is a disciplinary action to him being in the midst of his people. We will agree. But he is committed by his word to be in the midst of his people where his name is being called. And here we have in Zephaniah, two times he declared that I am in your midst. In verse 15, he said, I am in your midst. The Lord is in your midst. And in verse 17, he repeats it again, that he is in their midst. Well, I want to say to the church this morning, we are the Israel of today. We, the church, is the Israel of today. The body of Christ. Peter described us as a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And when God said that he is in the midst of his people, because he had forgiven their sins, here in Zephaniah, he's speaking also of the church that has received forgiveness, and he dwells in the midst of his people. So when we say that God is in the midst of his people, we are talking about not so much that the presence of God is everywhere. Not so much that regardless of where you go and I go, we are confident that the presence of the Lord is there. Not so much so. But in a specific and concentrating way, the presence of the Lord is with us in this service today based on his word. And brothers and sisters, we might not see the Lord here in the service or anybody else in another service, but his words are eternally settled in heaven, and he cannot lie. And therefore, when he declares that he is going to be in our midst, he is indeed here in this service. I find it strange to think that we can oftentimes go to church and we can enjoy our singing, and we can enjoy our sermon, and we can enjoy our testimony, and we can enjoy the different things. But how often have we actually stopped to think that the God who is bigger than time and holds eternity in his hand is sitting among us in the pew? How often have our thoughts reflect upon this truth based on the fact that he had committed himself to be in our meetings? Sometimes when we are not seeing the Lord in this fashion, the God of the universe, the one who creates the heaven and the earth, has humbled himself and has squeezed himself to be in our sanctuary. How often have we missed that thought? And to know that he is here, to extend to him the reverence that he deserves. It is not just a matter of attending church, but it's a fact that we have come into a place where the presence of the Lord is. And the courtesy extending that level of reverence to His Majesty in a meeting. Sometime it's missing because we have not discerned that He is in our midst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have not discerned the fact that the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, has humbled Himself based on His word to be in this meeting. And sometime for this, we have missed out on our blessing. Because you see, in the absence of acknowledging and recognizing His Majesty with us, we see ourselves. I see me. My mind is on me. My mind is on whatever it is that surrounds me, until I'm able to look away from me and see Him, hallelujah, then things are going to change. Honestly, I must tell you that sometimes He's here and we don't know. But in that situation, we are not alone. Let's look at something that happened to one of God's servants in Genesis. Genesis chapter 28. Listen to this carefully, church. Genesis chapter 28, I read from verse 15. And behold, I am with thee. The Lord speaking to Jacob after Jacob had a dream. And Jacob in his dream saw a ladder stretching from earth to heaven. And angels were going up and coming down on this ladder. And on the top of the ladder, he saw the Lord who spoke to him in his dream. But listen to what he said when he woke up from his dream. Verse 15, I read again. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. The Lord was saying that to Jacob. Verse 16. And Jacob awake out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Let me pause here for a second before I read the rest. The Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. The Lord is in this service. The Lord is in this service on the 14th of July, and I knew it not. And this is one of the problems that we face. We face this problem from the standpoint that it is just another day. It is just another calling, or it is just another driving, or it is just another walking to the place of worship. But brothers and sisters, Each time we come together, it is more than that. And what makes it more? It is because of the presence of the Lord in our midst. Not the presence, because his presence filled the universe. But I'm talking about a concentrated presence. In the sense that he personally will to come into this meeting to be among God's people. His words tells us not. In the absence of we acknowledging that, our pride takes control of us. Our selfishness takes control of us. Our ulterior motive takes control of us, because we have not recognized the presence of the Lord that is in our midst in a special way that will make all the difference for our lives. Let's read a little bit more about what happened here in Jacob's case. And verse 16 said, I read again, and Jacob awake out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Which place was Jacob referring to? In the middle of nowhere. There was not a building. There was not even a tent. He was in the middle. It was only heaven over his head. The cloud, the sky, was what was over his head. In the middle of nowhere, as he journeyed to his uncle in another part of the land and stopped over to rest for the night. The Bible said he uses a stone for a pillow as he rests there. And then the Lord appeared to him in this fashion. And what did he say, apart from the fact that he was not in a building? Right now, we are on this platform, and we are not in a building per se. But one thing I am positive about, the fact that the church has come together in this way, it is described as a house of God. We are two or three are gathered in my name. I am in the midst. Whether it is out there in the wilderness, whether it is in under the clock, or whether it is in a building someplace, that does not make any change. What is important is in his name we are gathered and we are worshiping, and he plan, he promised, and he vowed to be in our midst. The Lord in the midst of his people. So let's listen to a little bit more about what Jacob said in verse 17. Genesis chapter 28, verse 17. And he was afraid. He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. The house of God in a desert somewhere. The house of God. What makes the difference is the presence of the Lord in his midst, in our midst. And he further states in verse 17, and this is the gates of heaven, the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These are things that we need to acknowledge when we come together. These are things that we need to have on the forefront of our mind. that the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, has commissioned himself to be in our midst in every single service. And he is very much holding himself to his word, and he is in our midst like right now as we speak. Jacob, the clear, the open place at the house of God. Jacob said, when I discovered that, I was afraid. Holy fear came upon him. The reverence that God deserved rushed through his mind and his spirit. And he found himself humble in the presence of God. And all that had happened to him, all that he had done, the scheming and all the crookedry that he was engaged in, they came face to face with a holy God. God said, I am here. God is saying to us this morning, I am here in this meeting. God among his people. God in the midst of his people. No longer we are going to go to church and just go through the door, sit down and have a good time and come out. We need to be conscious that God has commissioned himself to be among us. And Jacob declared that this is the gate to heaven. This is the gate of heaven. This is the gate of heaven. We expect that when people comes to church, they would see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. By the Spirit of the Lord, in a congregation where there is reverence, in a congregation where there is holiness, the congregation where the presence of the Lord makes all the difference. And people would surrender their lives right there in the church, as described here, the gate to heaven. And they would make their march towards heaven by accepting the Lord as Savior, by experiencing a new life, by starting a fresh walk with the Lord and committing their self, their life, their work, their surrounding, the everything that they possess to the Lord. Because what? It is the gate. It is the starting point towards heaven. I'm in the midst of thee, the clear he, in Zephaniah. But Jacob made it clear that the Lord is here, and I don't know, or I did not know. When we look on this, one of the things that we see here, it is possible, church, it is possible that people can walk through church, go right into hell. People can walk through church and go right into hell because They have not realized that this is the gate of heaven because of the presence of the Lord. So instead of walking through here, go to heaven, they walk through here, go to hell. Because they have not acknowledged or recognized that God is in our midst. And I want to say to the church today that this is a time to wake up. This is a time to realize that the God that we keep ignoring from time to time in the different meetings, and I'm not so much speaking here about the apostolic church, but I'm speaking about churches that just open up service, close and go home without considering the thought that God had commissioned himself to be there based on his word. And the next time that we come together to finish this up, we are going to look on why. We're going to look on why, based on Zephaniah, he is in our midst. We're going to look on why he's there. But we need to acknowledge, we need to know that he is in our midst right now as we speak. And as you are tuning to this service, you need to be fully aware that the God of the universe, that Solomon said, is bigger than the ends of heavens. And the psalmist said, there is no way that where that you can go, and he's not there. In a concentrated way, he has vowed to be in this service. Let's look on another portion of scripture here. This time is Revelation. Revelation 1. Revelation 1. I'm going to read from verse 17. Because Jacob said, he is here, and I didn't know. He is here, and I didn't know. I am trying to let all of God's people this morning, every one of you who are tuned into this service, I am trying to let all of us aware of the fact that he has committed himself to his word. And he is here not because his presence is everywhere in the universe, but he has vowed to be in this service. Revelation 1. I read from verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first, and I am the last. Let me stop there to explain something. John, receiving the revelation from God, and in fact, verse 12 tells us that he heard a voice that speak with him. And being turned, he turned around. And what did he turn around and saw when he heard the voice that speak to him? Verse 12, Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. As he turned around, he saw a golden candlestick. That's what John said. And then listen to verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. Oh. And then John continue to describe his clothing and all of that. And John said here in verse 17 that when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. As dead. Church, this is it. He is in our midst. But we need to turn to see him. John said, when I turned and when I saw him, I felt at his feet as dead, consumed by his presence, consumed by holy reverence. And he's in our midst. He's in our midst at this minute. God, in the midst of his people, have we seen him through the eyes of the Spirit? Are we beholding his majesty? Are we beholding his beauty? One of the ways in which the eyes of our spirit look on him clearly is true praise and worship. Like what we've heard earlier on this morning from Brother Bailey. We are all called to a place where we pull our effort and we utter words. The fruit of our lips describe the writer to the Hebrew. And we give him praise, and we give him glory, and we give him thanks. And as the Spirit urges us to do so, we find ourselves getting closer and closer to his majesty through the eyes of the Spirit. And this is what church is all about. Get as close as we possibly can to the Master. It is this John who declared in 1 John that I have seen him, that I have handled him, that I have looked upon him. In fact, John continued to lean down on the breast of Jesus. And John could feel the pulse of Jesus' heart. When John makes these word expression here, he's speaking to the fact that we can get that close to the Master in these services that we're having. Because why? He is in our midst. So John went on to say in verse 18 of Revelation chapter 1, as Jesus continued to tell John who he is. And he said, I am he. Evermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. John had not seen the Lord for many years. John, one of his disciples, was thrown in the isles of Patmos. And he was out there for many years. He was Jesus' disciple. He had not seen Jesus for a long time. Now Jesus appeared to him again and told him who he is. And then the Lord said to him, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Uh-huh. And then he explained to John the mystery of what he had just seen, what John had just seen in this last verse here, verse 20. Listen to what verse 20 says. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, the Lord said to John. But listen to the last line here. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now Jesus is explaining to John that I am he that you have seen among the seven candlesticks. Remember what he said, and I in verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man. That is what John saw initially. And Jesus is explaining to him, I am he that was among the churches that you have seen. I am he that is in the midst of the churches. So I am saying to all of us here, every single time that we come to church, let us come with the understanding that we are coming to meet with the Lord himself, who has purpose to be in our midst. And in so doing, let us concentrate on him and show him the reverence that he deserves of being in and among us. We talk about the way people dress in coming to church. We talk about the continuous talking in church. We talk about the different behavior pattern, the walking around in church. All of these things speak to the absence of seeing the Lord in our midst. The minute we see the Lord, our behavior pattern is going to change. Because we have seen the Lord of hosts. We have seen him high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. We have seen him and give him the reverence that he deserves. And we worship him accordingly. Our worship is going to improve because we have seen the Lord. Our worship is going to go to another level because we are conscious that the Lord is in the midst of his people. And I just want to bless the Lord and thank him for opening our eyes so that we can see this, to give him the praise that he deserves. I trust that when we come back again, we will be able to look on the reason why he is in his church, the reason why he's with us. There are too much distractions around us. There are too much problems out there. When we come to church, it is a time to zero in on him who is in our midst. The glory of the Lord that fills the temple. As Solomon dedicates that temple to the Lord, the word tells us that the glory of the Lord came down and it fills the temple to the extent that the priest could not minister because of the presence of the Lord. In fact, the word says the priest could not stand to minister. It tells us that everyone were on their faces because of the presence of the Lord. Yes. Church, this is what it is all about. When we come together to meet with him who have no sin. He who is glorious. He who is without spots or blemish. But he has said to the children of Israel, I forgive your sins. I blot out your iniquities. I take away your judgment. And he's saying the same thing to us, that he has taken away our sins. And now he's taking up position in our services. The Lord is in this place. Let us not say like Jacob, and I know it not. But let us say that the Lord is in this place, and I am glad. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I am glad. Hallelujah. I am glad.
And
we will worship him. We will glorify him. We will praise him because he's worthy. He's worthy.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, God.
I just would like to close off here by singing one verse. Not one verse, but maybe two lines of this chorus that says, show us thy glory. Show us thy glory, O Lord. Show us thy glory, O Lord. Let the dew from heaven bring us refreshing and forth thy glory, O Lord. Show us thy glory, O Lord. Show us thy glory, O Lord. Let the dew from heaven brings us refreshing and shows thy glory, O Lord. Father, we worship you.
Hallelujah.
We glorify you.
Hallelujah.
We praise your name for your presence with us. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But you have commissioned it, and we bless your name. Thank you for being in our midst. Thank you for giving us the attention, oh God, and the opportunity to worship you. Thank you for all the achievements that you have had, and you are still doing in our life. And we pray, Father, that as we continue to acknowledge your presence with us in these meetings, you will make yourself known to us so that we will not say, you are here and we don't know. But we will say, you are here with us and we are glad. Thank you for your people whose attention at this time is focused upon you. And we pray that you will get the honor. You pray that you will get the glory. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Amen.